They realize they're both obsessed and are thrilled to have found someone else to talk to about it, so they do. They talk and talk. Some people join in, some dip back out, and soon the kitchen's clear of everyone except the two women. So they decide to meet for lunch, and they talk even more. Hours and hours of coffee and talking. The next time they see each other, Georgia suggests that they start a true crime podcast. Why not? They both already had podcasts of their own. They knew what it would entail. So they agreed to give it a try. Cut to hundreds of episodes, millions of listeners, sold-out international tour dates, and a book deal. It's kind of a feel-good story. I mean, it feels really good to us, anyway. Okay, now that we've caught everyone up, let's get back to the part about the book. We put a lot of effort into its creation, and for it, we have suffered mightily. For the past year and a half, we have been travelers set adrift on foreign seas aboard the HMS Write a Book. We set out impetuously, blindly, unfamiliar with the charted course, unsure what the food at the buffet would be like, afraid the other passengers wouldn't be nice to us. We were anxious. We were seasick. We told ourselves, let's just try to get through this metaphorical book boat journey in one piece. Be cool. Act natural. No, don't whistle, stupid. That's the opposite of natural. Why does everybody think whistling indicates relaxation? It's literally one of the weirdest things you can do in public without breaking the law. Blowing spurts of air out of your pursed lips to produce a raspy little song like some sad bird impersonator. No discernible tune, no clear plan, just kind of a long, vocalized exhale through big kissy lips. What better way to let the world know that you're at ease? Whoops, sorry, we got carried away there. Because, dear friends, that is the power of literature. Here's the bottom line, and not a lot of authors will be brave enough to speak their truth this way, but we're just going to say it. Writing a book is a tiny bit terrifying. It threatens to expose you as the fraud that you are, but instead of running and hiding from the shame of it, you just have to keep staring into the mirror. It's incredibly unnatural. You start out with an idea you like, you write that idea down, you let it sit for 5 days, and when you come back to it, the words have rearranged themselves on the page. Now it's shape-shifted into the dumbest idea you've ever seen. So you try to fix it, and you just keep fixing it until you go computer blind, all the joy is drained from your soul, and you no longer know what words mean. And then it's on to chapter two. But look and listen. We did it. We actually finished a book. We must have, right? You're holding it with your greasy fingers right now. And we're all the better for it. Plus, now we'll finally be in the Library of Congress. That's been on our bucket list since, like, day one. When we first agreed to write this book, we had a lot of different ideas about the kind of book we wanted it to be, but they all boiled down to the same general concept. Big glossy pages with pretty pictures and a meaningful sentence or two here or there about unity or like the soul. A sort of printed up Instagram or like a cookbook without all those cumbersome recipes. Short and sweet, the length and depth of a picture book made for a gifted toddler. And then, at the very end, maybe we'd have some kind of pull-out calendar featuring all your favorite true crime authors with their shirts off, but tasteful. Basically, we were imagining the kind of book you'd find in the sale bin at Urban Outfitters a week after Christmas. In hindsight, we can admit that we were aiming low. But it turned out that the powers that be were expecting us to dig much deeper than that. They wanted us to give of ourselves fully and not to use so many pictures. It was truly horrifying news. Just write about all the things that you talk about on your show, they said. Write what you know. And this was the problem. You see, if there's anything we've learned in our 3 years of doing this podcast, it's that we don't know anything at all. We don't know about geography or pronunciations or Roman numerals or percentages or the Cherry Hill Mall in New Jersey or dates or names or the law or really anything at all. It's been a very humbling experience. And also a hilarious one. Being so consistently wrong made us very self-conscious about our lack of education and our habits of assumption and unabashedly filling in the blanks. Every time we record, we know there's a trapdoor of ignorance waiting beneath our feet. It's made us a little skittish and untrusting of the floor, and in the beginning, it made us feel like we were doing it wrong. But here's the irony, a literary term. People still listened. Some even loved it. Our mistakes opened up the conversation we'd been having with each other and gave other people a chance to participate. That's the thing with any kind of hobby like this. There's always someone on the internet who loves it a little more than you do. They're a little more obsessed, they're a little better with memorization, and they're super fired up.